Do we have the expectation that our friend will come running and be there to reassure us whether we call day or night? Are our friends there to help us through the day and to see us on our way? Or are they a hindrance to us? Friends. We all need them. We all have them. You don't actually need to be a Christian to have a friend. However, part of being in a Christian community is to have Christian friends. We can't get everything we need for life from other sources. We need Christian friends to help us through the day, to see us on our way, to encourage us, to exhort us, to challenge us, to build us up, and to be part of the formation of our character, which is so important to God, as we heard back in the summer in our series in Ruth. So let's look at our first reading today and the friendship that developed between David and Jonathan. It's in 1 Samuel 18 and is on page 290 of our Bibles. David, if you remember, had come from the fields of Bethlehem, where he was a shepherd. He'd come with supplies to his brothers who were fighting in Saul's army. He had heard Goliath issue his challenge to Saul's army, and he had responded himself by going out with nothing more than his shepherd's sling and slaying Goliath. And when Saul heard about this, Saul immediately recruited David into his service. Jonathan, who was Saul's son, was the prince of the king and heir to the throne. So there was a significant difference between David and Jonathan in their social standing. But it was more than what they saw in each other and God that brought them together. There were qualities of character that Jonathan saw in David that made them friends. They had both excelled and proved themselves in battle. Jonathan, if you read back in 1 Samuel 14, had proved himself in battle, and David had just proved himself by slaying Goliath. And it was this quality of character that they saw in each other that drew them together as much as God himself. So although they were from different backgrounds, God was able, or would prove able, to use this friendship over the months and the years to develop each of their characters yet further. And then if we look in our second reading in 1 Thessalonians 5, which is on page 1188, we see how David and Jonathan put what we read there into practice through their friendship. There was a working for peace. Jonathan spoke well of David to his father, especially when Saul was furious with David and Saul issued instructions for David to be killed. And Jonathan spoke peace, spoke words of reconciliation in the hope of bringing them together. There was the seeking of good, there was the shunning of evil. If you read on in 1 Samuel 20, David comes before Jonathan at Ramah and asks, what have I done wrong to grieve your father so? There was the urge, the desire to put things right in the friendship between them. And if you continue reading the narrative over the years, the one thing that David did was to have respect for Saul and for Jonathan as the prince. Respect for the position that they held, that Saul particularly was the Lord's anointed. And he would not have anything done against him that was bad or evil. And Jonathan stands up for his friend. When it is a new moon feast, David is absent. And when Saul comments on it, Jonathan stands up for his friend and says, oh, he begged leave to go and spend it with his family. But Saul still has his determination to have David killed. And so when Jonathan truly understands that, he goes to his friend and he tells him about this. And as a result, David becomes a fugitive on the run, while Jonathan returns to the palace to duty and responsibility as the king's son. But that is not the end of the friendship between David and Jonathan. Jonathan is still putting into practice what we read in our second reading. He continues to encourage and to support David, especially when David is faint-hearted. Jonathan goes to David in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh, and he helps him to find strength in the Lord. And when those two friends meet and Jonathan does that for his friend David, that is actually the last time that they meet. And at that time, Jonathan is able to say to David, his friend, look, I know you are the anointed one to succeed in my father's place. And I'm happy with that. Jonathan had no desire to be king, no desire to usurp what he knew was God's will and God's plan for his friend. He put his friend first in what he knew was God's plan for David's life. There was encouragement. There was patience. There was help in weakness. There was the seeking of the good and the shunning of evil and the working for peace. And this is what Christian friendship is all about. And that is why we have Christian friends. We may have non-Christian friends as well, but it's our Christian friends which are going to be the ones who will encourage us and build us up. What we learn from this example of friendship between David and Jonathan, and what does Scripture teach us about Christian friendship in particular? I think it teaches us two things. The first is not to be ashamed of our Christian friends, or any friend for that matter. If they're truly a friend, we will want to support them. And secondly, it teaches us about the sanctifying power of a godly friendship. So if we think about the first basic principle, we should not be ashamed to own a friend, to stand up for a friend. Jonathan was not afraid to stand up to his father in his friendship. And we shouldn't be ashamed either to stand up for our friend or to speak the truth about a friend, as Jonathan did. Even when we're speaking that truth to someone maybe who is older or we deem is more learned or wise than us, we should still stand up for the truth and not see it trampled underfoot in any way. Because it's possible to respect and esteem others and still stand up for and support a friend. We may need the wisdom of God in this, But God gives wisdom to all who truly ask him without favour. At the same time, though, if our friend is engaging in conduct which is unbecoming to a Christian, and that does sometimes happen, we should be ready to pray for the opportunity to share that concern with our friend and perhaps to challenge them about their behaviour with a view to their conduct becoming more Christ-like. A word of warning, though, we do need to be aware of the plank in our own eye before dealing with the speck in our friend's eye. So that's the first principle. Be prepared to stand up for your friend and to support them when they are maligned for whatever reason. Secondly, there is sanctifying power in a godly friendship, because Christian friendship is Christ-centered rather than self-centered. Do our friendships start with us being as Christ to our friend, or of seeing something of Christ in our friend, of seeing the character of, the loveliness of, or the sweetness of Jesus in that person? Or are we simply attracted to something which is lower than that? Jonathan and David saw something of God in each other. It was an unselfish love as far as Jonathan was concerned. He put David forward and himself in the background. And it's not often that as friends we do that for each other. Think also of the example that we read about in the Gospels of John the Baptist. He put himself very much in second place to Jesus when he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Everything in Christian friendship stems from Christ being the centre of the relationship. It is about thinking, how can I be Christ to this person? Rather than thinking, what can I get out of this friendship or relationship for myself? And it's very challenging. It is not that easy to put our friend first, to encourage and build them up, especially when they may do or say things which we don't like. It can hurt us and upset us. But if Christ is the centre of our friendship, then we will seek his help to bear with one another, forgive one another, and be patient with one another in our walk with the Lord. Because the essential point of a godly friendship is not just to have fun, although that's part of it. It goes much deeper than that. It is a walking alongside us. It is a walk with Christ together. To pray and read the scriptures with each other, to serve and worship the Lord together, and to grow more like Christ together. And this is why we have home groups, to encourage and develop Christian friendship. It's not just about being in church on Sunday, although that's part of it. It's part of being a living community, a living Christian community that goes on throughout the week. Think about your friendships this week. Are your friends helping you to be more like Jesus? Are they lovingly pointing out to you where you might be slightly off beam in your view of God and his plans for you? Are you being as Jesus to your friends? In your friendships, is it me, me, me? Or are you putting your friend first and being prepared to take more of a back seat? Are you speaking with one another in psalms and spiritual songs? Or will the songs that we began our talk here this morning bug you on and off all week, as they've been bugging me for the past week, and so cause you maybe to have a false expectation of your friends? On a practical level, what does it mean to engage in Christ-centered friendships? It means everything that we read about in our second reading today. And we can find similar exhortations in Paul's other letters to the Christian communities that he wrote to. It's about not keeping a record of wrongs when our friends upset us. Yes, we do need to be honest and acknowledge that this is what happens from time to time in any friendship or relationship. And we need to be willing to forgive each other, even as God in Christ forgives us. Christian friendship builds up the other person rather than tearing them down. It's about not gossiping between ourselves, talking behind people's backs, or divulging confidences out of turn through failing to keep a guard on our tongues. And it's surprising how easy it can be to get drawn into such behaviour as well, without realising it. And this is why Scripture exhorts us to live in peace and harmony with each other, not to repay evil for evil, and always to seek to do good to each other. We will not be doing that with our friends if we are gossiping and talking about each other behind each other's backs. A final point, and that is that Christian friendship is a reenactment of the sacred union that existed between God and Adam, and Adam and Eve before the fall. Jesus came to restore that fallen relationship and friendship. Jesus died on the cross to forgive us our sins, even though he himself was completely sinless. Jesus died and rose again to restore that friendship and relationship with God the Father and with each of us. And Jesus sent forth his Holy Spirit to strengthen us and inspire us to live in union with God and with one another. If David and Jonathan are an example in Christian friendship, so is Jesus an example for us as well, particularly in putting others first before ourselves, in serving one another with whatever gift each of us has received, and of doing everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. We can only do this, or attempt to do it, if Jesus has first become our friend. We have in Jesus a friend beyond all others, who enables us to turn in turn to be Christ to our friends, and to encourage us together to walk the life he lived, keeping Jesus as the center of everything we do and say with our friends. We will get by with more help from Jesus through our Christian friends than by any other means. When we call out Jesus' name, he will be there for us, winter, spring, summer, or fall. Jesus as friend will lighten our darkest moments and see us through each day so that we are not alone. Jesus is the best friend that any of us can have. And often, He is that friend to us through the friends we have in our Christian community here in church and in the wider field. I have two friends, two Christian friends I've known since I was 17, which is more years than any of the three of us care to remember. And they have been and still are a source of encouragement and help and support to me. They will also tell me when they think I've got it wrong sometimes as well, and I have to listen to them out of respect for them and their love of the Lord and for me. Our Christian friends are very important to us, and some of our non-Christian friends are too. And we need to be Jesus to our friends in every circumstance and situation. And we can only do that when Jesus is first our best friend. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to restore relationship and friendship between us and your Father by dying on the cross and by rising again for us. We thank you that you are the best friend we can ever have, that you are there for us, winter, spring, summer or fall. You are there for us when we call your name. And often, Lord Jesus, you are there for us through our Christian friends. And so thank you for our Christian friends. Enable us by your Spirit to be as you to our friends. Amen.